This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good evening, my name's Nicola and you're listening to Hear Me Raw, Joy's all-female current affairs programme. Co-hosting with me tonight is Tess.
Hi.
Just Tess.
Just me.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a derogatory way or anything, Tess, but, you know, normally there's three of us crammed in here.
I know, this is all very traditional tonight, just the two of us.
Oh, I feel there's a song about that somewhere.
I think so. Thanks so much to Philip for the news, by the way.
And to Bridget for another wonderful drive home.
That's right. Tonight we'll be chatting with Fiona Patten, the co-founder of the Australian Sex Party and a candidate for the seat of Higgins, which is going to a by-election this coming Saturday, so it's very exciting.
Yep, and we'll also be chatting to Margaret Connington, the new co-president of the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, later this hour. But first up, we're going to have a whiz around and chat about what's been going on in the Gay Town news. In case you couldn't guess, that track was Dime Store Diamond by The Gossip.
I love it when they drill it in.
Yeah, they like to make their message clear. I think that one was Dime Store Diamond.
You are listening to Hear Me Raw on Joy 94.9. Just Tess and Nick tonight.
Not just us, Tess. You're playing us down.
Us just.
Okay.
Well, all just us is all that is just needed. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, now this is the time of the show where we like to give you a little bit of a rundown in the news that's relevant right. To us lesbians and gays. And of course, it wouldn't be a news week in our community without a little bit of a mention of the gay marriage ongoing fight to have marriage recognised.
That's right. Equal Love rally that was on last Saturday in front of the State Library, chipping away at the old block of equal rights for the GLBTI community, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Alex Greenwich, who's the spokesperson for Australian Marriage Equality, said Kevin Rudd's opposition to full equality for same-sex couples leaves us with no choice but to make marriage equality an issue in the run-up to the next federal election. And they're really doing it.
2010 is going to be a massive year for politics. And obviously, you know, it's our time to stand up and shout and scream and from the rooftops that I don't want to get married, but I will one day.
Yeah, and 2,000 people did so at the weekend. So good on you guys for getting out there and making your voices heard.
High five. One that's not really news, but it's a bit funny. Former American Idol contestant Adam Lambert.
you want to say that again?
has refused to apologise after he caused a ruckus at the American Music Awards recently with a sexually explicit act during his performance.
Ruckus, that's a word that's not used enough these days.
Isn't it lovely? Haberdashery.
Like so what did Adam get up to?
One of his performers grabbed him on the crotch.
Was it
the other way around? He grabbed one of his performers.
No, you're getting confused with Janet Jackson, who had the crotch grab going on.
Oral sex action, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. You know, so many things happened at these American Music Awards that it's hard to remember which sexual act was committed by who.
Well, this one was between two men, which is what obviously caused a stir.
Yeah, and he also kissed his male keyboard player. And, you know, he's actually had an interview cancelled on Good Morning America.
And who replaced him?
Chris Brown. If you're talking about people misbehaving, Chris Brown, the boyfriend, well, ex-boyfriend of Rihanna, who hit her, basically, got given the morning interview instead. A little bit unfair.
And completely embarrassing. But, I mean, the act between two men, we constantly witness heterosexual gyrations in every direction that we look.
Well, and even lesbian ones. I mean, look at Britney Madonna thing at MTV Awards. Katy Perry's a good one. Ooh. Yeah, you know, maybe he was just trying to emulate these girls and grab the headlines a little bit. And, you know, he wasn't the only one in the night misbehaving. As you mentioned, Janet Jackson went for a crotch grab. Eminem rapped about rape. And Lady Gaga smashed some bottles on stage.
But he's the only one that got pulled up for it and cancelled for a massive morning interview, which, you know, for the pop stars, it's all the rage.
Yeah, but I must say, though, he did make a funny comment on another show that he went on. And he said, oh, he just got a bit carried away. I'm sorry, but that must have been choreographed. It wasn't in the heat of the moment. Mm. Don't make out that your dancer just all of a sudden tried to, you know, simulate oral sex off his own back. You know, we just got a bit carried away. You know, that was premeditated.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I concur.
You concur. Good.
All right.
Well, another story that's kind of been in the news a little bit this week, though I'm not sure if it is news because we hear these kind of stories so often. Apparently gay and trans people will never enter the kingdom of heaven, according to Xavier Lorenzo Barragan.
Barragan. He's the retired head of the Vatican's Council for Pastoral Assistance to Healthcare. Oh, okay. Wow, we should really be listening to you.
Well, yeah, he says homosexuality is a sin, blah, 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 all the usual stuff, but we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. But I thought it was if you got your repented in your deathbed and you got your last rites and stuff, you'd still make it in. Wasn't that also, you know, murderers could repent
exactly,
and things and get in?
Exactly, killed people can still get back into heaven.
How
or
come
through the gates of eternity in bliss if they say sorry before, the, you know, before they die.
Well, then no, you know. I
doesn't
don't
make sense that it won't work for us.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty
cardinal,
sure.
Retired cardinal. I think there's a reason why you've passed on into your retirement, mister.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that no one I love and want to spend eternity with will receive their last rites. So we can all go to hell together and make it fabulous.
Wow, Nicola, I think we have just done such a wonderful roundup of news that people are probably just feeling flabbergasted and going, I don't know if we can deal with Fiona Patton coming up. It's just too much to handle.
Very, very exciting. We're going to be joined by Fiona Patton, who's the leader of the Australian Sex Party, in just a few minutes. So make sure, I'm sure you all have questions. The by-election is this weekend. That was Katie Nash there with Foundations. Back in 2007, I can't believe it's been so long. I hope she's going to bring out some new stuff soon. You are listening to Joy 94.9, Hear Me Raw with Tess and Nicola, and with Fiona Patton as well from the Australian Sex Party. Welcome, Fiona.
Thank you very much.
Now, I suppose the first question is probably for people that are listening, what's the Australian Sex Party?
Yes, it's not what a lot of people at South Yarra train station thought this morning, but particularly the boys from Melbourne High. It's a political party. We were registered by the Australian Electoral Commission in August. So we're a federal party and we are contesting the Higgins by-election, and this is the first election we've ever contested.
Fantastic. So you're up for vote this Saturday.
That's right.
Has it been a bit of a whirlwind? What has been the process for you leading up to this?
It's been an extraordinary whirlwind. It's been because it's sort of they announce it and then 4 weeks later it's on. So you've got 4 weeks to plan, make it happen. I have to say, I think it's been one of the steepest learning curves I've ever been on, and we've made plenty of mistakes, but it's really put us in good stead for future times, and it's been fascinating. I've been speaking in synagogues, handing out how to vote cards in train stations, stomping around, knocking on people's doors. It's been a really interesting process.
Wow. Just going back a bit, where did the sex party come from? How did it just arrive? I mean, you found yourself in this whirlwind. How did you get there?
Yes. About 12 months ago, I've been working as a lobbyist for the adult industry. So for adult shops, for online businesses, adult magazines, a whole range of people. And I've been doing it for nearly 20 years. And we were just starting to get this real sense that politicians were becoming more and more conservative while the community was becoming less. And it was just this sort of, I think Kevin Rudd being elected, who is a very strong and committed conservative Christian, Steve Fielding from Family First, sitting, sometimes having the balance of power in the Senate. And we just thought, we've been trying to sensibly argue from the outside, so let's give ourselves a run onto the inside and try and provide a voice from inside Parliament rather than the voice that often went unheard from outside.
It seems like quite serious issues that you're actually dealing with. Do you think people struggle to take it seriously because of the name?
Yeah. Look, this it was a hard call. you know, we kind of thought, look, we could be the Australian Freedom Party or the Australian Liberty Party or something like that, although ALP probably wouldn't have gone down terribly well. But at the end of the day, Don Chipp, who was the founder of the Democrats, he was a great mentor, and he encouraged us to go down this path. He always said the hardest thing for small and new parties to get is attention. And so at the end, we went for let's get attention. And if people don't take us seriously to begin with, hopefully we'll be out, we'll be there for a few years. And I hope one day people kind of think, oh, sex. You know, yeah. It's not kind of this thing that sets people giggling like schoolgirls.
So are all your policies actually based around sex and advocacy for the sex industry? Or?
At the moment, they certainly are around sex, gender, sexuality, censorship. And that could be as far as sort of, you know, a national no-fault termination laws or paid maternity leave or gay and lesbian rights or R-rated computer games. So they're quite diverse. It will be about how to address child pornography or how to address sex slavery or how to hopefully create better gender equality in Parliament.
So nothing on climate change then?
Well, it's, you know, we've been asked a lot about that and we're certainly developing things. Our first policy on the environment was we needed more land for animals to have sex in. And I think, look, that's, you know, when you think, like, we do need more areas for animals to breed in, and that does start to introduce the notion of making land sacred and protecting it.
So what are you hoping for this Saturday? I mean, it's a Liberal stronghold, the area that you're going for, despite the fact that Nicola and I were discussing it's actually, you know, the area of Paran that we both live in. It's quite the GLBTI community is quite strong there. So that should be quite interesting to see if that comes out of the woodwork. But given that your policies don't really go across the board right now and they are sort of concentrating in areas of sex and gender equality and that sort of thing, what do you expect out of this weekend?
Look, it's going to be extremely interesting. I mean, one of the things, though, while it's a conservative area, you know, Turek and sort of the traditional Higgins is conservative, they're not wowsers. And I think they, as much as you or I, would be concerned about the religious influence in politics. And seeing things like, you know, Tony Abbott becoming leader, you know, the mad monk, I think that does put offside Liberals. They're sort of, look, I'm all for, you know, little government intervention, you know, small government. And when we start seeing these sort of policies of intervention and this sort of moral agenda coming in, I think we are hitting a nerve with the more conservative areas as well. And it may be about internet censorship. You know, the Greens candidate, Clive Hamilton, is the author of the mandatory internet filtering proposal. And I think that also is something that people go, kind of go, like speaking at the Jewish community at the synagogue, they're saying, you know, we do not want governments to make decisions about what we can view online.
It's really offering sort of young people, as somebody that doesn't know a huge amount of about politics, I've always thought, you know, if I'm a little bit left of centre, I go for the Greens. Well, in fact, they're not actually encompassing all of the values that I want anymore. And, you know, you are hitting a nerve with how much sex does influence our lives in 2009 today.
Well, that's right. I mean, certainly the gay, lesbian, BTI community, it's a really fundamental part of your identity, you know, a part of our culture and identity. But for everyone, that is. I mean, who has not filled out a government form and one of the first questions on it is sex? So it is an important part of our identity. We wouldn't be here without it. And yet still, when we talk about issues of sex education or sexual assault or reproductive contraception, that sort of thing, it's still really difficult for politicians to speak rationally about it.
Yeah, you just mentioned sex education. I know that that's one of your strong policy points. What kind of sex education in primary schools are you talking about?
Look, I think it's about not kind of getting to puberty and saying, right, let's talk about sex. It needs to be a gradual thing, and I think it needs to start from kindergarten. And a lot of that will be around identifying your body, you know, and getting to know it and getting to know the sort of the biology of it. So it will, of course, be age appropriate. I suppose the other thing to bear in mind is that the amount of media that our children are seeing and being exposed to. You know, sort of when I was a kid, there was, you know, four channels on television or even, you know, three channels on television. Now there's 30. And they're all online. And so from a young age, they're online. And we need to prepare them
better
for
equip them
that.
To deal with that.
Exactly.
That we plethora can, of media that's going to bash them in the face for the rest of their life.
You know, we cannot filter everything that they're going to see. We can certainly set up safe Google searches. We can certainly set up safety in the home. But we still have to prepare them for how to deal with if they come across inappropriate material, or, you know, for goodness sake, you know, just an MTV. You know, MTV. I'm not talking about them getting onto porn sites.
One of your policies that actually interested me was you say you want to end the tax exempt status for religions.
Mm.
What kind of brought that idea around?
Yeah, probably stupidity. But
certainly, now it's all over your website.
Yeah, that's right. And certainly I've had a few people at the train station saying, so what, you're anti-religion? And no, we're not. I believe very strongly that everyone should be allowed to believe whatever they wish, but don't impose it on me. What gets me is the fact that religions are tax exempt for promoting religion. It's not the charitable work that they do. It's not that work. And I have no problem. If someone is doing good work, then of course it should be tax exempt. But when it extends to promoting religion, that's when I start to say draw the line. So that means building churches on prime land. You know, I think we could spread the tax burden across the board.
Yeah, but they could say that churches are actually sort of charitable houses. They do so many charitable things within those soup kitchens,
look,
giving to the poor and all that.
And when they do that, when they spend their money on that, of course that should be tax exempt. But when they spend their money possibly on a $5 billion spire, like they did recently in Sydney, you know, should that be tax exempt?
Well, it depends how pretty it was. Maybe it was, yeah, like, maybe it was charity for people's eyes.
Yeah. Well, Sydney can be an eyesore, you're right. But I just think that we should be questioning this. And I'm not saying that I know the answer, but I think it's worth questioning. Saying, why is it that Sanitarium doesn't have to pay tax when they make Weet-Bix, or, you know, or Hillsong, who has a huge music studio and makes millions of albums and millions of money from it? Why shouldn't they have to pay tax when similar businesses do?
It's an interesting point. We're here with Fiona Patten, the co-founder of the Australian Sex Party and candidate for the upcoming by-election in Higgins. And you are listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9 with Tess and Nick.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Lesbian rock duo there, Tegan and Sarah. Mm. Another fantastic song, Hell, which is apparently, as we discussed in the news earlier on, we're all
the
of
place
us.
Where we're going.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, at least we'll all be there.
That's right. If everyone's there, then it's going
to
be just
the place to be.
That's right.
So Tess and Nicola here on Hear Me Raw, John 94.9, and we're joined by Fiona Patten from the Australian Sex Party, who's contesting the seat of Higgins in this weekend's by-election. Now, we've actually had a message through from Roscoe saying, I totally agree and support the concept of educating children about sex earlier. I'm a pre-service teacher, and on my last rounds at my school, a year six.
Yeah.
I got a bit of the message, and then I was
talking about miraculous.
I was like, "Jeez, oh, I'm pretty sure that's a record." But a year six guy got a year seven girl pregnant. It's scary how young they're starting now, and how little they understand.
Look, I think that's. I mean, again, it's a great sort of. It really shows the point that we do need to prepare children. Just I guess as a word of warning that the age that people are having sex, like the average age, hasn't changed that much over the last decade, but you are getting these exceptions to the rule, and it would be much better if those kids kind of, if they were going to do it, at least did it safely.
And if nothing else, it's their behaviour. Like, they might not follow through with the actions, but I'm all for, like, you know, expressing yourself, wearing whatever you like as an adult. But when I see, you know, promiscuously dressed 12-year-olds walking down Chapel Street, I want to cry.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It kind of stems, I think, from, if you consider even the dolls, like when we were younger, I mean, Barbie and Cindy were positively frumpy. Occasionally they had a little silver kind of dress or something like that. But these days, things like Bratz dolls, unbelievable. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where it's coming from. And I guess that it's actually that when, you know, marketing to that tween or to that eight-year-old market, people didn't do it. Mm. You know, it just wasn't considered a market. And marketing companies now going, hang on, there's another group we haven't got that, as I say, are getting so much media and are still, you know, there's now magazines for eight-year-olds. There's, you know, there's a whole range of stuff. So it's what can we sell them today?
So you're saying that the sort of the government at large doesn't feel comfortable actually admitting that is the situation at hand and aren't really willing to, as we said earlier, equip young people with the skills to look at what the media is giving them and say, you know, no, I don't need that. Or
I mean, I've heard media and government say kids are dressing like that or dressing promiscuously down Chapel Street or something like that because they're looking at porn sites. I think, no way. They're looking at Britney Spears. You know, they're looking at MTV.
Yeah, people are naked on porn sites.
That's right.
They're not getting their fashion advice from there.
Really, they're not, because fashion, you would not go to a porn site for fashion advice, I assure you.
Yeah, I suppose our listeners are probably largely lesbian and gay males. Mm. They're probably wondering, voting for the sex party, what's in it for them?
Certainly, I can't understand how any Australian law can discriminate against someone on the grounds of who they love and their sexuality. I just think it's extraordinary that we have, you know, the Marriage Act, which says it's for everyone except for people who aren't in love with a man and, you know, who aren't heterosexual. And I think that's just extraordinary in the 21st century that any Australian law would discriminate in such a way. And there are still plenty of other examples where the law discriminates, and I think that's outrageous. My sister's gay, and her partner have a beautiful daughter. I am the proud, proud aunt. And while the government recognises their relationship for the tax purposes and for Social Security, my sister can't adopt her daughter. And I just find that extraordinary. She's a teacher. You know, she's obviously responsible with children. Maybe not responsible with herself sometimes, but, you know.
After a while, I find it quite difficult to believe it anymore.
I know.
It doesn't make sense in my head how my relationships could be discriminated against.
And if my sister was a man, she could have adopted her daughter. But because she's a woman, she can't. Mm. And, it makes no sense at all. And it's not in line with what the community is saying. And so,
Do you think that the area of Higgins as a whole would agree with a lot of your policies?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah,
I really believe that even the most liberal, as in big L liberal, voter, and particularly in areas like Higgins, where it's not kind of Bible Belt type of area, would say, well, what's the government doing trying to intervene in people's relationships? And I don't, you know, I think certainly in the 21st century, most of us have a family member who's gay, or are gay, you know, and we're certainly, it's not uncommon in our communities and in our families. And so I think most people I meet say, yeah, it's outrageous that, you know, Uncle Harry gets, you know, can't do this, but, you know, this, but, you know, but I can, or whatever the case might be. So I think it is broad. And again, it's just this sort of increasing wowserism and conservatism that is most distressing. And I mean, I've been a lobbyist for many years, and I see the Australian Christian lobby really getting a much stronger toehold in Parliament. And now with Tony Abbott on the other side, so two really strong conservative Christians, I think chances of gay marriage are now slim.
But despite the outcome of Saturday's by-election, it's really just getting yourselves out there, making yourself known.
Yeah.
And speaking to the people of Higgins, and it's a really interesting demographic there, because you're right, there's like the you know, sort of clear-headed liberals.
Yeah.
I suppose. Free thinkers. And then you've got the alternative crowd, the massive GLBTI groupings. It's a really interesting part of the population to speak to.
So I suppose beyond becoming the member for Higgins, what do you hope to achieve by standing in the by-election this weekend?
Thank you for asking that. What I'm really hoping is that people vote for the sex party to show that the issues that we are standing for count and that they are things that people will vote on. So while we may not be the next member for Higgins, the issues will be noticed. And so when, you know, the Labor, you know, big knobs are looking back, or Liberal big knobs or the Greens are looking back at the vote, they'll say, well, these people voted for the sex party on these issues. So these issues are important to a percentage of the community. And I hope that it engages, hopefully, some of the policymakers in saying, well, hang on, you know, how difficult will it be just to make all laws non-discriminatory? I mean, it'll piss off a lot of hardline Christians, but I'm hoping that we can show that we are a substantial vote.
Yeah. So what will you be doing this Saturday? We've been pulling in Elton and having a bit of a bash at yours, or?
Yes.
Yes.
It's certainly an after party for all our volunteers. And if anyone does want to volunteer, please just email us off the website. We could still use people just down at the polling booths handing out how to vote cards to the lovely ladies of Toorak, or the really cute guys from Paran, or the cute girls from Windsor, or, you know, there's plenty of places that we still need helpers. But I'll be sort of travelling around a few of the areas and handing out how to vote cards and, you know, getting to talk to people and, you know, hopefully it won't be too cold and so I can wear my T-shirt.
So you mentioned your website there, if people want to volunteer or find out more about your policies. What is the website address?
sexparty.org.au.
That one seems easy enough to remember.
Yeah, that's right.
If anyone needs to start that again, do call through to the station, 1300.
We'll give you a special prize.
And Fiona will pick up the phone and give you that website address again herself personally. And we have had your sister write in, Kirsty has written in, saying, please do talk about your hot lesbian sister.
Yeah.
Which you did, so everyone's a winner. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been absolutely fabulous to have you on the show. And yes, best of luck for Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Should be very interesting. You're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9.
Oh my, from Jin Wigmore there.
Oh.
You are listening to Hear Me Raw on Joy 94.9, Nicola and Tess.
That's right. And we have one last interview for this evening. Tonight, to close the show, we're chatting to Margaret Connington, who is the new co-president of the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight. Just to kick it off, can you tell us a bit about what the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is?
Yeah, sure. Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is a telephone counselling service. We take calls from not just the community, but anyone who is a whole range of basically everyone, family, friends. We've had a couple of calls from medical professionals even from time to time. Primarily we're a counselling service ready to take calls from anyone who feels they need to have a chat to someone.
So what made you want to get involved with the organisation and to the level that you have?
Well, quite frankly, it's just a fantastic organisation to work for and or volunteer for, as the case may be. And I really believe in what Switchboard is doing. I think it's a really valuable service, and I got involved initially, I first became aware of the service because I actually used it myself many moons ago, and it had kind of been in the back of my head ever since then. So, yeah.
Wow! So you actually started by being somebody that rang up on the phone, spoke to one of the counsellors to where you are now.
That's exactly right.
That's fantastic. It is a free counselling service, is that right?
Yes, it certainly is a free counselling service, and we've even got a toll-free number, 1-800-184-527, for anyone who yeah, you know, even if the cost of a phone call is a bit much, and for our regional callers as well, we've got that toll-free number set up. So, yeah, it's absolutely free.
I mean, you mentioned regional areas and basically it being available all over. And it stood the test of time, Switchboard. Why do you think it's such a loved and important resource for the community?
Well, it's hard to say, I guess, but it's really wonderful to sort of go to events like Midsummer and things like that. We often have people coming up to us to say, oh, you know, thank you for being there. You know, I'm here today because of you, or, you know, you were there when I really needed you. So I think it's almost like having a comforting friend around, you know, that you know is around if you need them. Yeah. And just like you feel about, you know, your friends in day-to-day life, knowing that Switchboard is there, you know, evokes similar sort of feelings.
Yeah, it's got to be fantastic to have that sort of resource where you can, you know, call up and ask anything. You're not going to be judged. You're not going to have somebody on the end of the phone that has a real opinion about what you have to say. Just somebody, you know, there to listen.
Absolutely right. And we're an anonymous, I should have mentioned it as well, we're an anonymous counselling service. So, you know, we don't, you know, write down any names or take down any names or anything like that. We're literally just a voice over the phone who's there to listen and not judge and, you know, talk to people about whatever's on their mind on any given day.
Well, it's actually quite interesting. In recent weeks on the shows, we've been having a lot of discussions about lesbians not reporting crimes against them to the police and, you know, maybe not feeling particularly comfortable doing so. Do you think the anonymity of the service actually allows people to feel like they, yeah, far more comfortable talking to you guys about those things, and, you know, with, I suppose, not having to worry about any kind of further repercussions?
Absolutely. The anonymity side of things is a bit of a tongue twister there. Yeah, it's a fundamental part of our service. As most of your listeners will know, you know, the community can be pretty small. And so it's absolutely a vital part of our service, as you say, to create that feeling of safety and means that people do feel a bit freer to be able to say things that often they feel they can't tell their friends or family or work colleagues or whoever it might be. They feel they can say to a voice on the phone because they know that it's not going to go any further, and they can remain totally anonymous.
So you must have assumed the role of co-president with an idea about the future of Switchboard. I mean, where do you see it going forward? It's probably a tough one.
It is a bit of a tough one. You're putting me on the spot there. I am a freshly minted co-president, after
all. How freshly minted are you, Margaret?
I am freshly minted, yes. I only took over the role in October.
Oh, so, wow. We are slamming you on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think we do certainly have some plans in place. You know, we've got some longer-term goals, and as well as a sort of couple of two-year goals and things like that. Certainly one thing that we're looking forward to celebrating is our 20 years in service, which is coming up soon. Not quite yet, but stay tuned. But, yeah, basically we're looking to continue what we do well in terms of offering a confidential place that people can call and basically continue to provide that service. But we are always looking out for ways that we can reach out to people that might need us. Certainly one thing that we've done recently is actually expand the service into Tasmania, as well as we used to just be sort of Victorian focused, but we also now cater to the community in Tasmania as well. So that's just one example of the things that we're looking to do to, you know, make sure that we are known to anyone who might need to have a chat to us.
Yeah, I mean, more and more the internet's becoming a strong resource for the gay and lesbian community. Have you guys got any online kind of resources to help people out, or information online?
Yeah, certainly we do. We've actually just updated our website, which is www.switchboard.org.au. And on there, both you'll find both a Victorian and Tasmanian database which has information about all sorts of things, venue information. Go there and have a read for yourself. But a whole lot of resources there which support or supplement, I should say, the other resources that are out there, for example, you know, the also directory and things like that.
Yep.
But, yeah, we definitely do have that database available for people that might want to have a look.
Fantastic. So can I just, one more time, can I grab the switchboard number just in case anyone who's listening might feel the need to give it a call?
To jot it down.
Absolutely. Get your pins ready, everyone. If you're within Melbourne, it's 9663 2939. And for our more regional callers, it's 1-800-184-527.
527. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Margaret. Best of luck with your new role there at Switchboard. And, yeah, keep doing the fantastic work that you do. It's a fantastic resource for the community. Again, I'll read them out again. The Melbourne number for Switchboard is 9663 2939. Or for the more regional areas, it's 1-800-184-527. Thanks again for joining us, Margaret.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Well, that actually brings us pretty much to the end of our show. We've been trying to cram things in, Tess.
Certainly have. Two interviews tonight, smack, smack. Both absolutely fascinating. Fiona's a fabulous candidate for the Higgins election this Saturday. Should be interesting to see how that one turns out.
Yes, so thank you for coming in. Fiona Patton of the Australian Sex Party and Margaret Connington, the co-president of the Switchboard
Gay and lesbian Switchboard.
Well, I was going to say Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, but it isn't anymore. They do
Tassie as well. That's brilliant. Not the Melbourne Switchboard. Would just be a bit freaky. Too many numbers. Thank you for listening, everyone. This has been Hear Me Roar with Tess and Nicola tonight. And yes, thanks for enjoying our company. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.